This week we've been looking at 2 Corinthians 13, 5-7, and what it really means when it says, examine yourself. The traditional view of the passage by pastors and commentators has some problems, four of which we're going to examine on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm really excited that you've joined us for this current series, which we're calling Testing Yourself, Approval and Disapproval. I want to get right to today's discussion because it's a great one. This is Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar talking about 2 Corinthians 13, 5-7. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're talking about an article that we recently published in the spring 2020 issue of the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society, which is a journal that we publish twice a year at a level that lay people can understand on topics that actually impact their lives in the church.
Yeah, and I might mention people can order it, but they can also for free online look at older issues. We don't
That's
put
right.
the last 2 years up because we would like to motivate people to actually purchase it because it does cost us a lot of money to publish this, and so it's helpful if people buy it. But on the other hand, there are people all around the world that read our journal articles, and some of them can't afford it. So we put it online at faithalone.org.
That's
so
right.
If you want to see the quality of these articles, go to faithalone.org, click on resources, then click on journal, and there's 30 years worth of articles.
Right. If you wanted to get a subscription for yourself or for your pastor or someone you know, it's $9 for
That's
two
for
issues.
The first year.
For
yeah.
the first
the
year.
The second year it's 15, but
it might
18,
be 18.
18. I think it is because of the shipping.
Well, so in this article, you looked at 2 Corinthians 13, 5-7, where Paul calls the Corinthians to examine themselves. And against the traditional view that Paul was really asking them to see whether they're born again or not, you argue, well, on the basis of what Paul literally says, that he's basically asking them to see whether or not they are approved or disapproved. And briefly, what does that mean?
Well, to be approved by God, specifically by the Lord Jesus Christ, would mean that your current standing is that you're in fellowship with God, and your current standing is if you were to die today, then when you appear before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, you'd hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You'd hear him say, rule over 5 cities or 10 cities or 1 city. You'd have some degree of rulership with him, and you'd have his approval. Now, if you end up falling away before the end of your life, then you would lose that approval, but you can't lose your status as a child of God. You can't lose your status as one who is en Christo, in Christ. So
right.
the Corinthians are guaranteed their eternal destiny, but whether they're going to be approved or not is up in the air. And as you know, the church in Corinth wasn't exactly the most spiritual church on the planet.
Well, they were spiritual in one sense, where they had all the gifts,
right.
spiritual gifts, and they were exercising them maybe in wrong ways.
Right.
But they are unspiritual in the sense that, well, they were involved in all kinds of immorality, too.
Right, and they had bad attitudes. They were divisive. Some would say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. And so you had these divisions in the church. They were taking one another to court. They were going to temple prostitutes. They were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. But on the other hand, some in the church were in a current state of approval.
Right.
In fact, in 1 Corinthians 11:19, Paul says, it's necessary that there are divisions among you, that those who are approved might be manifest. So there were some in the church that were approved, but what Paul wanted is for all of them to be approved.
Right.
Paul would seek that. And so shouldn't every church and every pastor want every member of their church to be approved?
Right.
The issue is not that Paul wanted all of the believers in Corinth to be born again. Obviously, if they're believers, they are born again. The point is he wanted them to be approved, just like he wanted himself to be approved, 1 Corinthians 9:27.
And so he wasn't sure in 1 Corinthians 9 whether he was approved or not. But we read in the last episode, by the end of his life, before his martyrdom, Paul was sure that he was approved.
Right. And there could be different reasons for that, because if I knew I was going to die in the next 6 months and the doctors told me I was terminal, I couldn't say what Paul said. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith.
Because you might get really angry at your impending death, renounce
right.
Jesus, kind of undo all your work. Who knows what you would
right.
do in 6 months?
My understanding of why Paul could say that is because God wanted this in Scripture. Therefore, the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul that it was appropriate for him to say that he had finished the course and that he knew the time of my departure. He knew he was going to die. This was special revelation, and he knew he was going to persevere.
Right.
And so he could say this where he couldn't say it in 1 Corinthians 9:27.
Well, let's talk about some of the practical problems with the traditional view.
I mentioned four.
But I also want to do this. Think about what this could mean for our assurance of approval and disapproval. Because if you use the standards we're going to use for this, should be able to cross over and impact this other.
Exactly.
All right. So what are some of the problems? What's the first one?
Well, the first one is it leads to perpetual doubt. John Piper, who believes this passage is talking about whether we're born again or not, but he warns about being too introspective. Maybe you could read what he says here.
I deal with this as much as anything, probably in the people that I'm preaching to, fears and doubts. Doubts not about objective, did he rise from the dead? Very few people are wrestling with that. But am I in? Am I saved? That's very common for people to wrestle with. So that's what he found in his church. I think he's retired from the pastorate, but that's what he found. People didn't know whether or not they were in, whether they were saved or not.
Right, and Dr. John MacArthur says the same thing as he's discussing 2 Corinthians 13:5-7.
He writes, "It's a heartache to me as a pastor to realize that so many Christians lack assurance of their salvation. They lack the confidence that their sins are truly forgiven and their place in heaven is eternally secure." And so John MacArthur, too, takes this position on 2 Corinthians that you really should examine yourselves whether you're born again or not. And the result is lots of people in his church are like, I don't know, maybe I'm not saved at all.
Exactly. It shouldn't be a surprise to people who teach that 2 Corinthians 13:5-7 is telling us we should examine ourselves to see if we're really born again. If they're pushing this on their people, they shouldn't be surprised that they're questioning whether they're born again.
Well, now let me ask you a question then. Should people who understand this is about rewards have the same fears and doubts about disapproval? Is that the perpetual state?
Well, we should have certainly perpetually the attitude that Paul had in 1 Corinthians 9:27. I discipline my body, I bring into subjection, lest when I preach to others about the judgment seat of Christ, I myself might be adokimos, disapproved.
Right.
And so, should I have that ongoing concern? Yes.
Okay.
But Paul knew at the time he was writing that he was approved. So it's possible for a person to know, I'm approved right now. And Paul expects that if you're walking in the light, as John would use that term, you're walking with Christ, then you know you're approved now.
Well, but didn't you say before that Paul could only say that because he had special revelation?
Well, no, at the end of his life, I was talking about 2 Timothy 4:6-8, and there he's saying, hey, I've done it. I fought the fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith, and now I know I'm going to get this crown.
Right.
If we get too much into introspection, then we can say, well, how do I know I'm really approved? It's really impossible for us to get to the point where we're like, well, I'm certain that I'm approved. But the way that John or Paul described this is, if I'm confessing my sins, if I'm in the fellowship of a local church, I'm hearing the word of God taught, I'm walking in the truth of God's word, then I take it by faith that I'm currently in a state of approval.
So you can have assurance of approval based on looking at your works.
It's not so much that I'm looking at my works as I'm looking at the fact that I am walking with Christ. To me, 2 Corinthians 13:5-7, examining themselves, was more than examining their works. It was really examining things like, are you someone who is looking to Christ for his approval? Are you looking to please him day by day? Is that something you see in your experience? Are you someone who's confessing your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you someone who's abiding in his word and his word is abiding in you? It's really not that you're trying to quantify your works and going, well, let me weigh my good works and my bad works.
Right.
I think instead what he's looking at is more like Romans 12:2. Have you been conformed to this world, or have you been transformed by the renewing of your mind? Is that impacting your behavior? Like John would say, are you loving the brethren? If you find yourself that you do love other believers and you're loving the brethren, that does show that you're currently in a state of approval. But I would certainly agree that we are not to be obsessing about, well, how many good works have I done in the last 24 hours?
Right.
How many bad works have I done? That's not the issue. In fact, that's the Romans 7 kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
To be set free from that, we take our eyes off of quantifying our works and we put our eyes on Christ. Is my heart set on his approval?
Right.
Do I love him? If that's true, I can say, okay, I'm currently in a state of approval, but I don't know if I will persevere.
Okay. Well, the second problem you point out with the traditional view is that if a person doubts his salvation, he won't grow in his faith. Doubt stunts spiritual growth.
Yeah, and that makes sense, because if you're going through doubts about whether you're born again, then your concern is not treasure in heaven. Your concern is, am I going to even be there? And so assurance of everlasting life, I quote to Charlie Bing, is essential for us to be growing as Christians. That's why this traditional view of 2 Corinthians 13, 5 to 7 actually keeps people from growing.
Mm-hmm. The third thing is, if an unbeliever hears and accepts this view, this is you writing,
right,
he will remain in unbelief unless and until he gets around this works-oriented view of salvation.
Absolutely.
So you're saying, if you take 2 Corinthians 13, 5 to 7 as a see if you're born again or not passage, that assumes work salvation. And if a person's assuming that perspective, they're not born again yet.
Right. Unless they, at some point they've gotten it simply by faith.
And then lastly, fourth, this interpretation results either in people not evangelizing others because they wonder why someone would want to hear their witness if they themselves are not sure. So if you're not sure of your salvation, you don't have any good news to share.
I can't tell you how many people I found that don't talk to others about Christ because they themselves don't know they're born again. And so the good news is that Jesus died and rose again. That means that all who simply believe in him have everlasting life. I trust that you know that you have everlasting life, and I trust that you are seeking Christ's approval, that you want to hear him one day say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, Bob is going to present an alternative view of 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 7, along with 4 strengths of this alternative view. So don't miss tomorrow's episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.